Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, August 25th, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. Folks, every Thursday night, I'm here with you to answer your freedom questions. Why? Because I came from Iran in 1977 at the age of 14, expecting to find freedom in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But instead, I found myself in the land of the meek and the home of the indentured. In this country, folks, as amazingly as it sounds, every dollar in our system, every dollar in your pocket was a dollar that was created out of thin air by banks, by fraud, and lent out to individuals, companies, or the government at interest. So imagine, folks, we live in a society where everybody is paying interest to these banksters. Chase, Bank of America, Citi, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, these criminals get to make money out of thin air and lend it to all of us. And with that same money, they bought off our government. They bought off our politicians to create the Federal Reserve banking system, the private Federal Reserve. And the income tax was another fraud on top of that to suck the wealth of the American people into the coffers of the government and the banksters. The government, of course, has practically become an agent of the banksters. So Freedom Law School is a source of education for you, number one. You will get education at Freedom Law School that you will not find anyplace else. Good, solid, reliable information that will empower you to live free now. How? Because in addition to education, Freedom Law School provides solutions that work. It's not just theory, it's practice as well. So Freedom Law School is dedicated to freedom for all Americans. At the same time, we do it in a very practical way at Freedom Law School. So that's why the courses of Freedom Law School that I've been put together since early 1990s for over 20 years, they come with a 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. 90-day unconditional money-back guarantee. If for any reason you're unhappy, you'll get your money back because the courses are solid education that you will find useful and enlightening for you. And in addition, folks, now I've been providing also assistance to those of you who want to get these criminals off of your back. One of my students was a former gun-carrying IRS special agent who got in contact with me in 1977 and concluded that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. He wrote a book about it, confronted the IRS about it. The IRS never, ever answered him when he was with the IRS, nor did the IRS or the U.S. government ever attempt to refute what he said in many public forums, which were put together in Washington, D.C. by a nonprofit foundation called We the People for Constitutional Education. Why? Because the politicians, the bureaucrats, the people in government know the income tax is fraud. They know it's a lie. They know it's been imposed on the American people in violation of the United States Constitution and laws, but they don't care. To them, it's all about the money and power, just like Hillary Clinton. She doesn't care about breaking the laws because she thinks she's above the law because her political buddies protect her. So is the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve banking system. They are protected by the people of government because to them it's all about the money. As long as the other American people don't know and don't care, they care more about sports and soap operas and entertainment and barbecue and beer on the weekends, they get to get away with it. Well, guess what, folks? It's time that we stop these criminals and return America back to people like you. Have you live free? So Freedom Law School is trying to educate you about all of this and have you live free. So get in touch with Freedom Law School at our website at livefreenow.org. And you'll receive, if you sign up there, for 1 year of free freedom law education you will not find any place else. Law made easy to understand for the average American like you. And easy to apply to live free now. If you have any problems, folks, call Freedom Law School here to help you at the same time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer your questions that you may have about various different freedom issues, whether it's the IRS harassing you, state income tax agency, the police, or bureaucrats, government officials of any kind. You deserve to live free. Freedom Law School is here as a unique source to help you live free now. So, and folks, you'll be receiving the speech of my former student, Joe Bannister, former IRS special agent. You will get that for free, mailed to you. And I will mail you extra copies of these educational packages for you to share with your friends, family members, co-workers, because, folks, we are at Freedom Law School about educating and empowering you and everybody to live free. So work with Freedom Law School. We'll work with you as best as possible to have you live free now. Now, what I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to open up the call to your questions. And to protect your privacy, folks, do not give me your last name, because this is a public call. Any government or IRS agent could be listening or recording this call, just like a radio program. So you just give me your first name, the state you're calling from, folks. That is good enough for me to know who I'm speaking with. And I'm going to do my best to answer your question on this conference call first. If that's not sufficient, you may need a one-on-one private consultation with me. I will let you know that. If one of Freedom Law School's educational courses or freedom packages is what you need, I will tell you about that. And if somebody else is a better source to help you get the answers and solutions that you are looking for, I'd be happy to refer to that person or source as well. So with that, folks, I'm going to see which one of you has questions and get your questions answered. Now, we'll have a topic at the end, also a class always. I have at the end of these calls about freedom issues, about IRS issues. So I'll announce that after you get in your questions answered. So let's go to the caller we have from area code 907. The caller from area code 907. If you have a question, please give me your first name and the state you're calling from, and then your question, please.
Well, how about just a pseudonym rather than a name? How's that?
That is just fine with me. I'm glad you mentioned that, my friend. A pseudonym is fine, because as long as I can address you whatever you want to be addressed, that works just good for me, my friend. What would you like to be called?
So now, Uncle Charlie.
Very good. Charlie, okay. All right, very good. Where are you calling from? What state, Charlie?
I am in Missouri.
Missouri, very good. All right. All right, my friend, what's on your mind?
Well, sir, I faxed you off a couple of pages, what was it, yesterday, regarding a letter I got from the IRS saying that differences between your 2014 Form 1040A and information from other sources. And basically what happened...
Let me ask you a question before we go on, my friend. How many pages did you fax Freedom Law School?
One, two, three, four, five.
Okay. And about what time of the day you received the fax? Because we get many faxes. I want to be able to identify yours and what telephone area code perhaps it came from.
Let me get the confirmation here.
Sure.
And I can
you can give me my telephone number you call from. That will be helpful too.
Just
I see it. You said you're from Missouri. Got it. I got it. I found it, my friend. Thank you. Yeah, I found you're from Missouri.
725-0013, I believe, is a fax.
That's okay. Yes, yes. I have it right here, my friend. Very good, Gail. All right, my friend. I see the letter you got from the IRS, and it's dated August 15, 2016, which the headline of the letter is Important Message About Your 2014 Form 1048. Your tax return doesn't match the information we have on file, is what the IRS is claiming. And then they send a response form. And then you attach some HUD settlement loan paperwork I see here related to all that as well. You sent to me, my friend, correct? Is that the one?
Right. I sent you it's called a settlement statement. In the mortgage business, it's called a HUD 1. In the real estate business, a HUD 1 in the lower right hand.
Yes, I know exactly what it is you got, my friend.
I bought the home in, where's the date on there?
So you sold the home and it was not taxable, so you didn't put it on Form 1040A. Okay. When you mean it wasn't taxable, can you be more specific? What do you mean by that?
Well, I had understood there was a one-time exemption for your residence if you sold it, and it was less than something like $200,000 in profit, which I bought it for $235, sold it for $296.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Alaska, that's an average house. That is
yes.
Not an upscale house.
Yes.
So I didn't think it was a taxable event, so I didn't put it on the 1040, which is obviously a mistake. But my question is, how should I correctly respond to these people? Just say it was a sale of my home. Here's the HUD ones. Thank you very much.
Well, I think what you're referring to, my friend, is that if you sell your primary residence and you sell that, you live there two of the last 5 years before you sell it, then according to the IRS, $250,000 of the profits or gains from the sale of the house are exempt from taxation by the IRS. And from what I hear you believe that your home sale qualifies in those standards, correct?
Well, I had a tenant in there for 2 years. And I'm not sure that I absolutely positively was in there three of the last five, but had a tenant in there for two.
As long as two in the last 5 years before you sold it, doesn't matter when, as long as during the 5 years before you sold it, two of those years you lived in there, that's all that matters. And what should have happened is when you dealt with a title insurance company or escrow company that reports all this, does all the paperwork, they would have and should have asked you, is this your primary residence that you're selling? And because you didn't quite understand that issue, that question very well, you assume that you have to have lived in there before it was sold. You probably told the title company no, because you were there of the last 5 years. It was just not the very last 2 years, but that doesn't matter.
They didn't send me a 1099, but they still reported it to the IRS.
No, if you had told the company that, title company would have had you sign a piece of paper saying that this was your primary residence, and the title company would not have sent a 1099 to the IRS because the gains on that sale was less than $250,000.
Well, they sent a notice to the IRS anyway.
Well, so at this point, all you need to do is just to tell them that. Explain to them, write them a letter about this. You can include a sales statement, but the sales statement is not really the main thing. Well, you could sell that to because, but you got to explain to them that, tell them that two of the last 5 years, you live there as your primary residence. That's the key thing. Other than that, they'll see that your gain that you had from the sale of the house was obviously far less than $250,000, my friend. Okay, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the dates that I occupied that house, and I can't remember exactly what dates that I was in there.
You don't have to be exact. Approximate is good enough. Okay. Now, at this point, the IRS may agree with you, and they may not. You know, they may say fine. They may push this down the envelope and force you later on by to go to tax court by sending you a formal letter called the notice of deficiency. That's all possible. But at this point, you can just tell them that. It might make that go away. You could, for right now, tell them that you lived there two of the last 5 years, over 2 years, because even 2 years in one day is over 2 years. 2 years in one month is over 2 years. So you say, I lived there over 2 years the last 5 years, and my gain was, after all the expense and buying cost, was what, less than $50,000? It was less than $250,000 for sure. So that's why that was non-taxable, and in your view, there was no need to for you to fill out 1040 form, which is you don't. Okay.
I don't want to give them any more information than I absolutely have to, and I don't want to say anything that would imply that I've done anything wrong. So I've got to be very careful about how I word that letter, apparently.
Well, I just gave you the basics of it, and I would suggest you don't say any more than you need to. Say as little as possible to make the point. Later, if they respond back to you.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that they do give me what you call a letter of deficiency. At that point, I have to go to court. Is that where I find somebody who would represent me, or do I find out how to represent myself through your school?
The first time around, you're going to want someone like Freedom Law School to assist you with the process. I don't represent people in there because I'm not licensed to practice people before tax court and argue for you, but I can do the paperwork for you just as a professional, just like an attorney would do for you, and take care of that for you there if and when it gets there. But at this point, you're not even there. I wouldn't worry about that, Charlie, at this point. Just for this particular issue, just a short letter will do. When they respond back to you for more questions, they may ask you, well, from what time to what time did you live there? From what month of what year to what month of what year? Then you can respond back and give a more detailed explanation at that time. But right now, it's a simple short letter. Like I told you, don't tell them too much. It's sufficient.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can I stay on the line and listen to the rest of the program, or do you want me to hang?
Absolutely. I recommend that after you get your question answered, listen and learn from other people's question and answer. That's a great way to go, because that's why I do these conference calls, because for private one-on-one consultation, I get paid $240 an hour. And so people sometimes don't want to do that. They don't have the money. They're not sure. And I encourage everyone to first take advantage of this conference call. We answer your questions free of charge. Up to 10 pages you can fax or email to Freedom Law School or mail to Freedom Law School, and I'll go over it for free like I've done for you. So take advantage of that. But the good thing about it is other people get to learn from other people, each other's questions and answers. And that's what makes Freedom Law School unique. I want people to learn from their own experience and other people's experiences, my friend. So thank you for saying. By the way, how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Charlie?
Somehow I was running around online, and I found your website. And then yesterday I called you and got the fax number to fax in the detail that I did.
Okay. So, very good. Very good, my friend. Did you get in touch with us to sign up for our free education package?
Well, I was looking at that, but I decided I would call you before I enrolled in that, and I just may do it anyway.
No problem. Also, I suggest folks go, if you're on Facebook, become a fan of Freedom Law School, and we'll be in touch with you that way. Very unique source of information. We'll get into you out there. What's really going on there, the truth, folks. You'll be empowered to know the truth, what's going on. is legal and political combined, folks, as well as spiritual, because Freedom Law School stands for goodness, for truth, for peace, for love, for education. And it's about using a legal system to help you live free and at the same time connecting education with like-minded people to modify this corrupt system American government has become to the original intent and vision of the founding fathers. The government's powers are limited to those listed in the U.S. Constitution, so they don't abuse Americans and they don't use the government to enrich the rich and hurt the average American like it's been happening. So thank you for calling, Gail. Stay on, my friend. Let's go to the next person online who may have a question from area code 541. They call from area code 541. If you have a question, please give me your first name and the state you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Robert. I'm from Oregon.
Very good. Robert, what's on your mind? By the way, how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Robert?
I got a brochure in the mail from you months ago. I called Darlene last week, and she gave me this conference number. The question I've got, she said she's never heard before, so it might be important to your listeners. When you file for Social Security after you've paid your 10 years eligibility, that's, I think, the minimum, they require that you give your last year's tax return to file for Social Security. And is there a way around that? Because if you're out of the...
I'm sorry, you get muted by accident. Repeat again. They do require you to file. That is true. Yes, Robert, they do.
Okay.
Actually, that's not true. They don't require you. They just like to have it. You don't. I know people that have never, ever had a regular job, never, ever filed a tax return, and still collecting Social Security.
Okay. Well, that's the first question they ask. What was your earnings last year? If you don't believe there, you know, if you're talking profit and loss and there's no earnings, you didn't file, did you? So how do you get around it without shooting yourself in the foot?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, let me tell you where I come from. I don't believe in this corrupt. I don't believe in socialism. I don't believe in that government is the answer. So I don't like to pay in this corrupt system or take out of it. So for someone like me, that's never a question, because I don't want to put into the system or worry about getting money out of it. So that's why you're told correctly, but right now I'm not an expert on the subject. But I do know this. I do know the IRS likes to go based upon the last 2 years of what you made to determine how much you should get paid on Social Security, $500 a month, $1,000 a month, you know, over $2,000 a month, whatever that may be. That's what they like to go by. But if you don't have that, you know, based upon whatever information they got from what you made 5, 10, 15 years ago, you had records. And if they don't have that, doesn't matter. They're still going to give you $500 or some $600 anyhow as a minimum. If you're over age 65 or whatever, they, you can do that. I know people, again.
But are you inviting the wrath of the IRS by filing? Or is that something you should maybe avoid? Just forego the Social Security altogether?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by the word wrath, but when you file with the IRS,
if you haven't filed with the IRS because you don't believe there are any earnings, income, so to speak, because after profit and loss, if you zero it out, you zero it out. There's no gain. You can make the arguments about the tax code and so on and so forth. But without doing that, if you've been out of the system for quite some time, by going into Social Security, are you actually asking them to revisit you?
No. All you're doing, the 1040 form is a confession form for that year only. Every year is a separate taxable event. So you fill out a 1040 confession form for 2010. You say you are under your IRS 10,000. Okay, that was your confession. You are 10,000 for 2010. Right. It doesn't affect 2010 or 11. Then you go after a few years. doesn't affect Social Security in only in a way that it's used by the Social Security as amount that Social Security believe you made, and they what they pay you is based upon how much you made in the last couple of years or last few years. That's all.
So if you can't show them that, or you don't show them that voluntarily, then they're going to default to a minimum number or something, or what's going to happen?
Yes, they'll default to a minimum number, right.
All right. Okay. And I ideally, I'm like yourself, I don't believe in the social system, even though I've given them probably tens of thousands in Social Security. I'm probably better off just to forego that, just to let it go.
That's
probably
what I would do. I wouldn't even bother with that stuff. And I would just tell everybody it's a scam. You know, why pain? Why get out of it?
Why participate? Yeah, you've been scammed. And it's water under the bridge, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, that's a good answer. That was my answer to myself. But I thought, well, they probably owe me about $1,200, $1,300 a month, but they don't owe me anything because someone else is paying it. It was never a fund to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It was spent as soon as they got it. It was a scam.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah. So why participate in this scam, right?
Exactly.
I guess that's the bottom line. Yeah. People don't want to hear that, but guess what? That's the way I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So whether or not it invites them into my system or not doesn't make any difference. If I don't want to play the game, I should just get out of the game.
Yep. Exactly. Just stay out of the game.
Very good. Very good. I'll let your next question come up. That's a very good answer. I appreciate it.
You are most welcome, Robert. By the way, Robert, you said that how you heard about us. Did you initially find us on internet? A friend told you about us? Because we don't send information packages to you unless you contact Freedom Lost first.
Let's see. Yeah, I got this $300,000 reward. Very powerful brochure. How did I get it? Let me see if there's an address on it.
We mailed that over a year ago, that brochure.
Yeah, that's over a year ago. Yeah. Okay. That's how it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Very good. Well,
you must have got me on a hot mailing list.
Well, no. Actually, if you never contacted us, what that means, what happened is that the person who was on the list moved. But the letter got mailed out because people don't notify us ever. Address changes a lot of times, most often.
Yeah.
So you just happen to be the new guy that gets it and say, hey, what is this? He was intended to
really
the guy before.
Yeah, you're talking about the Florida Liberty Summit last summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the one.
Very good. Yeah. Huh? I'm glad I came across you guys. That's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll probably participate in what you're doing, but I'll leave the next question for the next person.
No problem. What you want to do, Robert, is get to know us more, and we want to get to know you and educate you more. That's why I will send you, when you get on our website at livefreenow.org, send for the 1 year free education. The first package is mailed to you. It's 2 CDs, one of Joe Bannister, the former Irish special agent, one of me speaking, and our Freedom Catalog. You know, get all that stuff. Yeah, you know, give you education. You have our contact information always there. You can get education on a regular basis, you know, for 1 year, stuff that you don't find anyplace else. And we're there for you. We got the courses, freedom packages, you know, tell other people because we are legal, political, you know, organization combined. Okay?
Good deal. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go now to our other caller we have from area code 831. The call from area code 831. Area code, if you have a question, please give me your first name and the state you're calling from.
Eileen from California.
Eileen from California. Well, good to hear from you, Eileen. I used to live in California. I feel bad for you still being stuck out there. You know, hopefully one of these you can make the exit out of that. That's the Socialist Republic of California.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Well aware, yes. Yeah.
Yes, of course. They're getting worse and worse every day. Okay. Well, Eileen, how did you hear about Freedom Law School? What's that?
Now they want to force vaccinate you, too, or at least our children at this point. Pretty soon they're going to want to force vaccinate everybody in the state.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, yeah. All right. And then when you talk to people about it, they look at you like you're crazy because you're not going right. for it. It's like, you know, anyway. Thank you for this call. I really appreciate it. And I had faxed you some papers. And the way I found you was on the internet, and we were looking through the talks on the FTB, and I guess it was mm-hmm. quite a while back ago that you mm-hmm. you worked with a man who was I think he was an accountant or a mortgage broker or something, and
mortgage broker Paul Ballmer, right? Yeah, with Paul Ballmer, right?
Mm-hmm. And it was regarding the Privacy Act, I believe, was the angle he was coming at it from, and he ended up suing him for like $333,000 or something, which was nice to know that they have to pay out sometimes for what they do to people unjustly. So I had some questions about that. First of all, I haven't filed for quite some time. I think it was like 2004 when I last filed with the state or feds. And so they've, you know, sent me letters. They've, you know, impounded my account. They impounded my husband's account. And thank God we didn't have that much money. And they, you know, send me letters. And they tell me, you know, you have to pay this. Or else we're gonna, you know, hang you from the highest tree and.
mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway, so I had a number of questions. First of all, it's my understanding that if I was to file, like if I was to report my income to the state, for instance, to FTB, which I'd be happy to do if I didn't have to perjure myself, and like you say, it's an admission. It's like saying that you are an income, or you're a taxpayer according to their definition, and the way they're defining your income, and so and because I won't do that, I won't waive my Fifth Amendment right to mm-hmm. sign a paper. So how can you go about this? Because I have a problem similar to your last caller. In that we sold a house back in 2007, and we had a considerable gain, but we lived there the whole time. We never rented it out. And we lived there the whole time, and we had we lived there for 8 years, and we had a gain of, it ended up to be like over $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
But because my husband and I had joint title, you could make up to $500,000 without a capital gain. But because I didn't file for that year, they're considering the whole year as income.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still mm-hmm. pay like $30,000. And then now with all the penalties and interest and all this other stuff, it's gotten up to like $50,000
mm-hmm.
for just
mm-hmm.
that one item. As you could see from the paper that I faxed you.
Right. I see that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I had a question because even if you want to, get things straightened away with them, and you know, I don't have a problem declaring my income. Oh, that's another thing. It's all based on that naked assessment. You know, they assume because I'm a license holder, I'm a hairstylist, so they assume that I've made a certain amount of money every year. Well, first mm-hmm. of all, I don't even know where they get this total from. You know, it must be from somebody who's working, you know, a lot more hours than I was. I was only working like a couple hours a week. I mean, a couple mm-hmm. days a week, not a couple of hours, but a couple of days a week. And so that income is, you know, was very, very high. It was probably three times what I actually made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For all those years, and then from what I understand, because we've talked with Joe Bannister, and he says that is all naked assessment, and it's not, it won't hold up in court. So if I was to go to court, I guess they can't. you know, because it's a blue sky figure. They have nothing to base it on. I haven't filed in a long time. And so I haven't, you know, condemned myself. And
How did you get in touch with Joe Bannister? How did you find him and get in touch with him?
Well, he's in our area, first of all. And then we saw Freedom to Fascism. That's where we got introduced to Joe originally. And then, it was a Freedom Forum group that meets in Santa Cruz. And he and Sheriff Mack were there, spoken. And so we interfaced from that point. We've met with him a couple of times.
Okay. When was that Freedom Forum? Was it a couple of years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Peter Gibbons, too, was there. And Peter wrote us a letter. In fact, it's in that pile that I faxed you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know all those guys. I'm friends with all those guys for a long time.
I want to introduce you to Sheriff Matt. Connor and,
yes.
Freedom, what, Seth? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Been,
yes.
Joe referred us to him, too. And then are you familiar with Dr. Ed Rivera?
Yes, I know him, too.
Uh-huh. Organic Laws Institute. What do you think of his teaching?
Dr. Edwin Rivera?
Yeah.
Well, way back then when I knew him in Southern California, that was about, gosh, when was it, about year 2000, or maybe before, maybe 1999. It was a long time ago. I think it was, let me think. Yeah, it was about 1999, about that time. At that time, he was teaching wrong information, patriot mythology information, which was baseless legal stuff. And that's why the government came after him, was able to shut him down. Shut down what he was doing. They got a court order against him to stop. Cease and desist.
Right. Right. And they pulled his license at the bar, right?
I'm not sure about that. They may have. I don't know for sure. I didn't really follow up with him.
They did take his bar. They did bar him from practicing, but it was based on some kind of territory teaching. And I guess what it was is he pretty much had on the case, but then in order to keep from admitting guilt, they somehow said that what his approach was, it wasn't copacetic, I guess. So he does not, I know at this point in time, he does not have a license. He's not a licensed attorney, but he's 72 years old, too. He just turned 72. So, he would have been retired anyway. Now he has a school where he educates people. And he says his views have changed a lot in the last, 17 years, right? You're talking about,
I don't know. That's a good, I'd like to know. That's a good point. I don't know about that. But I know Peter Gibbons, Sean O'Connor, Joe Bannister, Sheriff Richard Mack. I've known all these guys for a long, long time, for over 15 years. Mm-hmm. All those guys. Yes.
Okay. They're all good men. They're.
Yes. Yeah. They're all very knowledgeable. Fighters. Good men trying to do the right thing. Freedom fighters. That's right. They are. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Mm-hmm. So now. So it, because you don't, because we, I didn't file a 540, from what I understand, you don't file a 540 before a 1040, because it, on a 1040, they ask you for the information from the 540, right? So if you don't have a federal liability, then you don't have a state liability too, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. So, and then the Privacy Act, are those, I know that they were going through some changes with that, as far as your friend, what was his name, Paul, you said?
Paul Ballmer. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you were saying, you were talking about how he was going to go back in and revisit this whole Privacy Act, and they were collecting information. It sounded like it was based on the blind assessment with him as well. And then he...
Well, his situation is totally different than yours. In fact, after he won the $250,000 judgment against the FDB and also won the attorney's fees and costs, the government FDB went to the legislature. They changed the law. They changed the Privacy Act of California so no one else can sue them like Paul Ballmer did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's how corrupt this thing is. Oh, there people have a right. They can hold the FDB accountable for that. Wow. So, yeah. We just change the law. No problem. We run the government runs the system for the government and the big, a union employees, government union employees that own the state of California. You know, so no problem. We just do it that way.
Yes, and like you alluded to with the Federal Reserve, now legally, according to our Constitution, we're not supposed to be using any currency other than gold and silver. So because you've taken the fiat currency in exchange for your, your hours that you've worked, how does that all work together? I mean, because it's not really. I mean, how can they consider that fiat currency even a viable income?
Look, the fiat currency is a different issue. I mean, the argument could be made that the fiat currency could be legal tender. Lincoln did that back during the Lincoln's War in the South, greenbacks. The issue is not the fiat currency. The issue is bigger. The issue is that the money is actually counterfeited by banks out of thin air and lent out.
Right.
That's the issue. Whether it's completely counterfeit.
Yeah.
They make billions and trillions out of thin air and lend it out. It's a monopoly game that these guys have the privilege of creating money out of thin air and lend it out at interest. The whole game is rigged for them. That's why we have increasing poverty in America, because our wealth has been literally sucked by interest being paid by American people and government for money that was made out of thin air to begin with.
Oh, and then they penalize you 25% interest and fees and all this other stuff on top of the money that they say that you owe them. You know, it's higher than a credit card, a corrupted credit card rate. It's just unbelievable what they, it truly is slavery. I mean, it truly is. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah. Well, what can help you? What's on your mind tonight that I could assist you with?
Okay, well, the biggest thing is that, because I would be, in order to file, they want me to file. They want me to file and give them, $60,000, okay? And that's just the FTV. That's not including the Fed. So one question I had is, does the FTV report to the IRS?
They may report to each other. They may talk to each other. They may not. But, on this issue, you can try to contact the FDB and tell them, look, this is what's going on, But even according to the IRS, that money wasn't taxable. You made less than $500,000 between the two of you. You tell that to the state, you tell that to the IRS, same way, it doesn't matter. They should leave you alone for that year because according to even their own rules, the way they like to see it, you're still not taxable.
Did you say that last sentence one more time? I'm sorry.
Even the way the IRS and the FTB see the game, from what you made from the house sale, you don't have to pay any taxes, period, anyhow.
Right. Right. And so they're going to say, well, you have to file for that year in order to determine that you didn't have
I know that's the corruptness of that system is that, yeah, that's what they do. They say you have to file to show that you had no income. It's like, well, if I had no income, why should I file? And I went through that craziness with them myself. Believe me, I went through that myself. Uh-huh. Okay. Way back there. So I, one time, you know, I had an insurance license. I didn't even use it before I gave it up. But they assumed that I used it and I had so much income. The average insurance license person like you, did with hairstylists, and they steal my car. This day on a traffic situation, the policeman turned my car over to the FTB. FTB was going to sell my car. My only thing I had in my whole life, my asset was my car. And I was forced to file a tax return. I only owed him like $200 in change plus penalty and interest. So I did that, got my car back without any towing or storage fees, by the way, which would have been more than that.
Got the gun to my head. I'm sorry.
My car, once I filed the 1040 form, okay, and I paid him the $200 and I think $230, I think. And I got my car back without having to pay anything for the tow or storage of the car, which was stored at the tow place for about, I think, 10 days or 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Okay. But, you know, they operate by force. I filed the form because they had literally the gun to my head. Without a car, I could not get a job, stay at a job, have an income to pay rent. I would have been literally on the street homeless. So I filed it under duress by force. And I didn't file with them ever since then, with those crooked criminal franchise tax board thieves in the state of California. So in your situation, you can just say, forget about them. So what? Don't keep any money in the bank account that has any branches in California that, you know, you can do that, you know, or file that and get rid of it that way. But I think what you may want to do is you and I probably want to talk on a private one-on-one consultation in more detail. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you got a lot of stuff that we shouldn't be discussing publicly on this public call.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, what do you think about the form 4506P?
I'm not an expert in form numbers. I'm not. Let's be, these numbers. What does the form say? From who? IRS?
Yeah, it's to the IRS, and it's stating that you are a non-filer. And you, in order to do that, you have to have not been a filer for the last 2 years, for the last 2 years, and then you can go back. Each form covers a four-year span of time.
I got to see a form before I can judge it. I cannot tell you. Let me see. I can type on my computer on an internet search, and I can look at it for an IRS form. What's the number?
4506T, as in Tom.
Okay. 4506T. Okay. And let's see what it says. It came up on internet. Request for transcript of tax return. That's what it is. Okay.
Well, and then if you look down, there's like four or five different things that it covers, and one is non-filing status.
You can only do 4 years of form?
Yeah, 4 years per form.
Well, I haven't really looked at the form closely, to be honest with you, to give you a better evaluation.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like your input. That would be one of the things I'd want to cover
It's used to retrieve your tax returns, W-2 and 1099 transcripts that are on file with the IRS. Okay. They give the permission, the documents give permission for a third party to retrieve that's what it is. Okay. Well, I never really looked at that form before, honestly. I'm not going to be able to do it real quickly, perhaps. Request for transcript. Why do you want it anyhow? Why do you want to use it for? What you trying to accomplish? What's the goal? You're not interested in the form. Yes.
Yeah, that was the counsel that we received was if you are officially filed as a or on record as being a non-filer, the IRS is a, basically a way that they can release your it's a
acknowledgement using their forms.
Yeah, it's a way that they can.
Okay, I know what it is. I see it. So it's to release the information about you. So why do you want? Why are you so interested in it? As I don't get that. What's the big deal about this form? What do you want to accomplish with the form?
Because the STB is coming after me for like 8 years, or no, more than 8 years. Like 6 years.
I see. They're after you. I see that for years 2006 through 2008 and 2012 through 2014. Okay, I see that. So, but that's FTV. How does the IRS relate this form to your situation at all?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I was thinking, okay, if I told the FTV, well, I'm a non-filer, I'm a confirmed non-filer. I mean, because
let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Let me tell you before I go on. Okay. Look, you got to understand something. These guys don't accept that. These criminals don't accept you being not being a slave. Don't file. What? What are you talking about? You're on us tax protesters. Come on. Who do you think you're talking to? Bunch of high school sweet girls. These are criminals. They don't accept you being a non-filer. You know what I'm saying?
But what I understand, they can't legally call you a tax protester anymore because there's a law.
Yes, they won't call you that. That's true. The IRS can not, but FTB can. But they still look down. They say, "Oh, you're one of those non-filers." Oh, I see. Well, let me tell you, you are required to file income tax like everybody else. We're gonna come get you. We're gonna take your stuff. We're gonna put you in jail. You know, you're not gonna win the argument with these guys on the phone. These guys are trained thieves.
Right.
They break the law. They don't care. They just want the money. That form of the IRS will not solve the problem. All that form is paragraph 7. It says that you did not file for that year. That's all. Whether you believe you're not required to file income tax or because the fact that you're homeless. You had no job that year. That's all. The way the IRS looks at it, that does not affect the FTB in this situation at all.
Okay. So as far as your privacy of your papers and stuff, they can't just break into your house and look through your papers, right? I mean,
they can, but they almost never do. Don't use the word they can, because anything is a can. You can walk out of your home and hit by a lightning. So you can, but doesn't mean it's very likely, okay? What you want to think about is what is likely, not something can happen. No, it's very, very, very unlikely for them to do that. They almost never do that.
What would you do I'm still a license holder. They could potentially pull my license, right? I mean, I've heard of that happening before.
They take the driver's license. Okay, they could do that, but they usually don't do that. And by the time you get to that stage, someone will listen to your situation. Look, most of what you owe because of this whole the house sale thing that happened. So, it could get there, but it potentially could get there. Yes.
So you think I should write them a letter and tell them about the house sale, and there was no gain, we didn't exceed it, and we held joint title, and then for these other years, it's all based on your projected income, which was not my income, and I'm not going to sign away my Fifth Amendment rights so that I can sign your stupid form.
They listen. Maybe you're not listening to me closely. These are thieves.
Uh-huh.
They don't care. They say the only way you could reduce the numbers is if you file a California 540 form. But I told the guy when they had my car, the FDB, they had my car. So look, I didn't even use the license. I made zero with a license. You know,
yeah.
I'm not required to file. I have no income. He says, so you have to file a return showing zero for us to reassess the tax, to redo the tax. You have to file. They want you to file a 1040 confession form on the, or 540 confession form by force. That's how these criminals at the FDB operate. You should have to if you have zero income. Even according to their own rules, you shouldn't have to file, right? But no.
Well, I did have an income from the license, but it wasn't, it was, like I said, it was like a third or less of what they projected it was.
I know they're projected. That is their criminal way of trying to force you to file a 1040 income tax confession form. They deliberately do that. They deliberately and knowingly do that. They say, well, I know. We know you didn't make that much. We know that, but hey, we do it higher, yeah. So you have to file our form and lower it, and that's the only way for us to lower it for you. What are you going to do about it? See what I'm saying? They're not a bunch of nice folks. They'll follow the law. They are reasonable. Right, they are here to help you. Look.
So now, did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll let your husband ask you questions directly. Let me talk to him directly. He can ask me directly. You have to be a go-between. He's there. Have him ask this question directly.
Yes, sir.
What would you like to know?
Well, my one question is, I'm faced with a choice. I've been working as a independent worker in the building industry, putting in installations, and people have been glad to for my labor pay me cash. The people I'm working with now are saying we need to change situations and either bring you on as an employee or you get your state contractor's license for a particular installation class. And then we will we can interface with you and even give you jobs. My question is, in getting out of the position I'm in now, which is cut and dry, becoming a contract for California. If I can even operate that way without them trying to turn the screws to me. And either becoming an employee on payroll, which every instinct says that's not what I should do. But this question's opened about a California contractor's license. And I don't know if you can see what I'm saying. I'm kind of faced with this.
I know exactly what you're saying, my friend. What should I address you as? What is your pseudo name you want me to call you?
Call me Tom.
Tom, no problem. Because I got your wife's fax. I know her real name, but I'm not going to give it on this call. All right. No problem, Tom. I'm going to try to help you a little bit with my friend on this commerce call, but I know what you're thinking and what you're knowing, and we're going to have to talk about this more privately in more detail, my friend.
Okay.
You know, so we don't have the whole world, like FDB Irish, could be on the call listening. But let me tell you this much, at least, about this situation.
Okay.
This is one of the, I'm going to, reason with you. Let's suppose you've been making, for example, let's say $50,000 a year as a doing what you do, getting paid cash. I'm just making up a number.
Okay.
High or low, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And but as a contractor, because you're a contractor, you can charge more per hour for your work and get paid maybe $100 or $200,000 per year.
Okay? Right.
And then if the FDB comes after you, even if they come after you, make up some number, let's suppose you owe the FDB $10,000, $15,000, okay?
Uh-huh.
Guess what? If you went from $50,000 to $200,000, even if the FDB takes $10,000, $15,000, you're still ahead, aren't you?
Yes.
Without it, you haven't filled out a form. They would send you a proposed assessment. You just pay it off and done. I know, for example, I know a guy was a one of my students. We went to FTV hearings. They were so corrupt back in over 20, about 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. he hated those guys. But eventually, when I didn't see him for a few years, I saw his father. I said, so what do you do when they like come after your son as an MD, medical doctor, and say he makes maybe $120,000 or $140,000 a year. He owes maybe $10,000, $12,000.
Right.
His answer was, the follow was, oh, we just pay him. We just throw a bone to the dog. You know, because his son made more. He made $300,000 to $500,000 a year, I'm guessing. I don't know. Okay?
Right.
So when they came up with the assessment of $120,000 of income, that you owe $10,000, $15,000, he just paid him off and get it done.
Right. Okay.
My point of a story that. for you is, Tom, is you sound like an intelligent guy. I can tell you're thinking by the kind of question you and your wife are asking, the fact that you know about this stuff, about the whole income tax, and you educate yourself. You guys are cut above the average person. Okay, I could tell. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm encouraging my friend, don't let this issue hold you from moving forward and becoming more prosperous, number one. Okay.
Okay.
Go for the license.
We'll cover it more in a private consultation coming up soon, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer it. I just like my last thing that I would say is for as many of us as can starve this system, that's where I've made my stand. I don't want to give them any more. I don't want to give them any water either way. So,
absolutely. 100% I'm with you, Tom. You're welcome. Let me just add this for anybody else also. The thing about Tom, I'm totally with you. But let me tell you something else to consider, by the way. Something you're going to like this news, okay? I just read in the paper. I'm in the greater Tampa, Florida area. There's a shortage of skilled construction workers of all kind in Florida, in particular in the greater Tampa area. They don't have enough.
Is that Tampa,
Florida?
Georgia?
No. Tampa. Florida, south of Georgia.
Right. No, my brother lives on the border of Georgia and Florida.
Okay, very good. So the Florida is a state which is short of skilled construction workers, okay, of all sorts, installers, metal workers, electricians, plumbers, mechanics. I know a guy who teaches as a school to people to become mechanics, auto mechanics. He says, Paymon, every one of my graduates, every one of them as a mechanic gets out as a job waiting for him. Because Florida is full of retirees. There's not enough actually working age people to serve these people as mechanics and construction people and stuff like that. So I suggest when we talk in person, we'll discuss this in more detail, my friend, also.
Yes, we will. And thank you for taking the time, and I'm interested in hearing other people's questions as well. Thank you.
No problem, my friend. Well, I tell you what. Yes, ma'am.
Does the consultation amount, does any of that apply towards a training series, or do you offer patient as part of your training series, or?
The $240 for 1 hour prepaid consultation, which is cash only by mail, will apply toward a Royal or Simple Phenom package programs that combine education with unlimited consultation with letters to Congressmen, senators, and with Criminal Legal Defense Fund and the Civil Defense Fund, IRS letters and FTB letters for the for our Royal Phenom package. It goes credited toward that because, Eileen, it does come with unlimited consultation, and I want to and need to take time with you as a new student, hopefully, to understand your situation, to minimize or avoid problems, just like Tom is asking me these very good critical questions, because too often people at crossroads like Tom, your husband, is, which he makes the wrong choice, could really mess him up. But if he does make the correct choices, it's going to very, very likely have him leave him alone or be in a much better position to win or minimize damage potentially down the road. So the planning is a great part of the program. And because I've been doing this stuff for over 20 years, I've learned so much about how these criminals work and what you can and cannot do. It's not just theory. It's also strategy. Just give you background.
Right.
I mean, I was a chess champion when I was in Iran in junior high. I played chess since I was 6 years old because we had no toys. I'd never had a toy. So I played chess with my older brother and my dad since I was 6 years old. I became very good at strategy, planning ahead, thinking several moves ahead type of thing. So yeah. I apply that here because this is very, you know, important that if Tom makes the right moves, and then your situation, also Eileen, you know, we plan it out. You know, you guys are going to be a lot more happier and peaceful than if you just go make the right, wrong moves and come to me down. They're trying to bail you out of it. You know, you in the past, you know about me, Eileen, you got this situation. I think we can clean it up. But there's more than one way to skin a cat. And sometimes plan A is better than plan B. Sometimes you go and see if a plan B might end up being better. We just got to, you know, discuss it to custom, make it to what works for you guys.
Okay.
Because it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. That's all. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But can they force you to sign away your rights, like your Fifth Amendment right to? I mean, that's crazy. That is just absolutely craziness. But it's one thing if you don't know what they're doing. It's another thing to go into it with your eyes open and know how they're setting you up.
Eileen, they're FDB so a criminal, you know, they make the IRS look like good boys in comparison.
That's what you were saying.
Yes. Yeah. They make the IRS look like good old boys. If you go to our website, you see I have a lot more IRS victories than FDB. I mean, with FDB, I got IRS, my own, I beat the IRS $700,000 to lien me for over 10 years, I zeroed it out. After 13 plus years, they called me. They're looking at me as an abusive tax shelter promoter. They finally backed off after 13 years. Okay, I had my students. I stopped liens, levies, reversed them, got money back. You know, $5,000, $100,000 plus got back with interest from the IRS. Zeroed out $100,000, $300,000, you know, million, $4.6 million, zeroed out. With the IRS, but FDB a lot less. You guys, I like your situation compared to a lot of people because you guys are a situation I know I can help you. So Tom is right. When we talk one-on-one, I can go over all this stuff in more detail and you're going to be happy. You know, the options are available to you and the strategy, how you guys, you know, I think long-term, I see you guys getting out of California, period. And you can do that, especially with what Tom does, you know? Yeah. And I'm helping my own students, just like myself. You know what? With IRS is one thing. IRS is all 50 states. But states, that's why Calvin is losing people. Calvin is becoming Mexico because all the working people, middle class people, are going to Texas, Florida, other productive states that are not as oppressive, don't have state income tax at all. And it's better off. And the cost of living is so much less. No traffic, no smog, don't have the crime and corruption. They have to make tons of money to live in a decent neighborhood with a decent sized house. You know, here you got good neighborhoods in that can afford. You know,
you got mosquitoes with the Zika virus.
No. That's in Miami. That's why we like Central and North Florida. That's Miami south. Everybody thinks that.
I think you called it right. Good chance they're going to lose us pretty soon too, because I'm feeling in my gut not putting up with it too much longer.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll talk to you about Tom when we talk about how to logistically make this a smooth transition for you guys with the FDB.
Okay,
and then we can plan out the IRS better also, my friend.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, guys. Well, you know what? I took so much time with you guys. With all due respect, all the other people left. They had no questions. Yes. You know, that's okay, guys. It was a pleasure to meet you guys. Other people will get the call on recording. These calls are recorded and online. People go listen to these calls. So I'm going to put this on there as a FTB conference call because it was a good discussion of FTB getting out of California, guys. So have a good night, folks. Yep. Thank you for being with me. And I'll be back with you guys next Thursday night. Anybody wants to call, folks. Freedom Law School is a source for each one of you to live free. So I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.